B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Could tariffs give Google Stadia an edge in the next video game war? That's what we're talking about today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Welcome in. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. This is Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, July 8th, 2019, and day one of our grand studio opening.
That's right.
If you haven't yet, make sure you join us over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll talk about what we got up to over the weekend. Plus, have video games ever impacted your relationship, positively or negatively?
Oh, buddy.
We want to hear about it. That's coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a question. Will the coming tariffs give Google Stadia an advantage in the next video game console cycle? It's an important question because Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo are all going to have to navigate these tariffs to be able to continue to sell their products here in the United States.
Yeah, the three largest developers, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, they create 96% of their consoles in China, who, as we all know, we are on not the most friendly of trade terms with at the moment. And the new tariff.
No, I hear trade war constantly in the news.
Yeah.
Like, this is a term that we have become very accustomed to here in 2019.
Yeah, so we're looking at a 25% increase on systems that could be a major factor.
Whoa.
In people's purchasing decisions.
Wow.
Yeah, 25% is not nothing.
Now, talking about the prices of stuff too. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of analysts doing predictions and rumors of what the PS5, for example, could end up looking like cost wise. And I think without taking this into account, there are some that are predicting as high as $800.
Yeah,
and then 25% on top of that.
Wait, hold up. $800 for the PS5?
That is, I believe, the highest.
That's the highest projection.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. But listen, logic and kind of, the average spending of American consumers says you're probably going to have to drive that MSRP down quite a bit. I think, the last successful console to have a launch was, of course, the PlayStation 4, which was around $600. I feel like that.
$400.
Was it $400? Oh, it was $400.
The PS3 was $600.
Right.
And that one bombed because of the price
point.
Thank you. You cannot go up that high.
Yeah, I don't see $800 working out. Mm. I just don't.
Nope.
Most people, that's a cheap gaming PC right there.
Yeah.
I don't see it, especially having the same appeal that consoles currently have in your console PC dynamic. I just don't see that price point working out. But an increase of 25%, regardless if we're talking about $400 or $600 or $800, is still going to be quite considerable.
Well, it is. And here's the main thing is that the reason why we've brought Stadia into this is because Stadia is not having a quote-unquote piece of hardware,
right,
that you need in order to participate in the service.
You do still need at least the Chromecast Ultra and
sure,
which are already widespread.
That's totally different.
Yeah.
You don't have the same cost associated that
course.
You do.
Yes,
with
it's definitely
a console.
Not the same,
no,
but there is still
widespread.
Hardware included.
Right.
The controller is extra. If you wanted to play it on your PC, you could use it with mouse and keyboard, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
If you already have controllers, you can use your controllers that you already have with that system.
Yep.
So you could essentially start playing Stadia when it launches with no hardware. Essentially, that's the dream. But the what makes this different is that should a trade war happen, that immediately gives an advantage to Google because they don't have to worry about the hardware.
Yeah, but does it though? I mean, one of the main concerns that I think we've had about Stadia ever since we heard about it is how much bandwidth is this service going to consume?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a way, an efficient way that still looks good and performs well, where I'm going to be able to limit the amount of bandwidth that Stadia is going to use? Because data caps are a real thing. Now, the last time we brought this up, our chat pushed back on us a lot and said, well, I don't have a data cap ISP. You may not now, but you will. There's no guarantee. You know, I didn't have a cap on my ISP until about a year ago.
Yeah.
Until I was streaming on Twitch and it goes, in my browser window, you've used 90% of the data for your month. That was the first indication. They didn't send me a contract that I had to sign. They didn't do any of that because guess what? They don't have to.
No, they don't. And here's the thing. Everybody has a cap. You just have to hit it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The average consumer.
Most people don't hit it.
Will not hit it because most people are not using that much upload.
But I'm not the average consumer, Norris. I know everything about my finances, and I've got a PC that's going to be able to have all the hard drive space.
But it's stupid that none of that matters. But the whole point is that if we're talking about in the context of a trade war, if of our relationship with China that manufactures 90% of all consoles and many of our consumer electronics, how does that affect the gaming industry if you don't have a console that you're shipping on launch day? You have an advantage if this happens.
In that case, but I think what Nate's trying to bring up here is that, like, let's say with these tariffs, you have to spend an extra $200 to $300 on your new console, but if you have to worry about getting actual uncapped data, you might be spending just as much getting a better bandwidth.
But how much do we talk about sticker shock? We just talked about it at the start of this segment.
That's exactly my point, though, is that Stadia could still wind up having the effect of sticker shock if someone doesn't realize what their ISP bandwidth cap is.
But that's already after somebody's bought into the platform.
That's true.
The thing. And that's what I'm saying. We're talking about the initial investment of somebody being able to start. That's what we're talking about.
Sure.
That is going to immediately affect all of this. And if Sony wants to be able to have the launch that they had with this generation of consoles, this is something that they're going to have to, you know, keep their finger on the pulse of, because they're going to either have to get an exemption for video games or they're going to have to adjust the MSRP of their console.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently asking whether or not the current potential tariffs with China, could they end up giving Google an edge with Stadia, a competitive edge in the next console cycle? Now, maybe this is an obvious question, and maybe the answer is obvious, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. Could this ultimately end up creating a manufacturing sector for high technology items here in the U.S.?
Well, that's what
that's the long-term goal, right?
That's the long-term goal. That's what, you know, tariffs and all this type of stuff is really at the end supposed to accomplish, right?
Right.
Here's the problem is that I'm not necessarily sure if we have the manufacturing infrastructure to create on this scale. That's the difference. China has the scale. They're able to put out this amount of electronics at certain price points that allow these consoles to be made and be readily available. Only Nintendo has done like purposeful scarcity.
Sure.
Right? And what it does is it makes people love their consoles even more for some reason. However, when you're talking about Sony, when you're talking about Microsoft, and you're talking about console manufacturers that thrive on, I can go get this right now, that's going to hurt their bottom line. And it's going to hurt their bottom line a lot.
Well, it's a dangerous game to play anytime you start having to talk about, you know, messing with the MSRP. Consoles are already notoriously low margin. No developer makes their money on consoles.
That's very true.
You make your money on the peripherals and on the games that go with it.
That's a great point.
So anytime you start talking about messing with the MSRP, like, there's no way the developer is ever going to eat one of these prices. If the tariff happens, It's coming out of your bottom line.
Exactly.
I also think that, you know, labor laws and demands are very different overseas than they are here in America. And I don't think that there would be a really good way for a company in the U.S. to spin anti-suicide nets to a U.S. public
yeah.
to say this is what we need to do to be able to meet the demand of the customers out there. I don't think that goes over as well. And you know, maybe I'm the cynic here, but I just don't see this in any way driving more jobs here at home. And to me, is really just going to be punitive for anyone who is a fan of video games.
No, it is. And that's part of why, you know, not to get too in the weeds on the politics of it all, but that's why there has been a lot of pushback about this kind
sure.
of stuff.
Actually, yeah. Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, I think, jointly like penned a letter to the presidency to like back off.
Because here's yeah. the thing: video games bring in more revenue than movies and music combined. Period. Okay, so if we're talking about something that generates that much money for anybody's economy, they got a say in this, and they're going to make theirs. It's going to be more than a letter. If you think that the lobbyists haven't been on the Hill talking about this already, they have, okay? And that's why I think that it's important for us to talk about this kind of stuff, because, guys, politics affects everybody,
everything,
including your video games.
But I don't want them in there.
It doesn't. Guess what? They in there.
Now, Google, this is a message to you also, because I do think you have a major opportunity here if you strike while the iron's hot. But to Nate's concern,
yeah,
about bandwidth caps, we need a better response from you guys than, oh, your ISPs will adjust to meet demand.
No,
because no one hears that and believes that for a second.
Maybe if net neutrality hadn't fallen.
Maybe.
Maybe. Even then, I probably would have said, no, you're probably going to need to figure that out. And it's going to need, the answer,
it needs to be set in stone.
The answer needs to be system side. It yep. needs to be something that I, the user, can set. Now, obviously, we're pretty concerned about this, but what about you? Are you concerned about the trade war, the tariffs? Let us know by connecting with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, I've got a question for you, and maybe this is getting a little personal, but have video games ever impacted your relationship?
Yes.
Positively or negatively? Don't want to just focus on the negative. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll talk about what we got up to over the July 4th weekend. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening in Canada on TSN Sports Radio, including Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Hamilton, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. Checkpoint XP Daily is now part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go over to BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. This past weekend was the July 4th holiday weekend.
America!
There was a lot of fireworks, a lot of barbecue, and
a whole lot of America.
A lot of
another victory for America.
A lot of hot weather. A lot of really hot weather. Sure.
I think, like, I shudder to see the electric bill this month.
Oh. Because
it has been so hot.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
So, hold on. We had the 4th of July weekend barbecue and hanging out and good friends and family and beer and all that stuff. And Joe's just like, oh, my God, my light bill.
Settle down, old man.
So old.
D- That's all.
You're so old.
I'm sorry. When you run the air conditioner, is that not the only thing you can think about? The entire is just dollars.
I live in a new building, Nate.
I might as well feed this thing with dollars and watch them shred it out and throw it like confetti into the room.
Listen, I live in a newer building, so it's all eco-friendly and stuff. So my bill is pretty low.
Yeah, we have ours AC going like 24/7, set at about 69, and our electric bill this past month was like $40.
See, that's the thing. You set it at a temperature, and you just deal with that temperature. Yeah, that's what it
is. That's all we're doing. Jeez, mine was like triple that. So don't judge me from your ivory towers.
You also live in a house. You have a basement.
I do.
Is your house poorly insulated?
Yes,
it is.
And it has like a 25-year-old air conditioner. Yeah, oh, there's a winning combination.
There you go.
It reminds me of my house in Warren, because my house in Warren was very poorly insulated. Yeah. So trying to keep that hot or cold was, oh my God,
the winter was brisk. It was a little chilly in January.
Just permanently uncomfortable.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you own that, right?
Yeah, I paid a not insignificant amount of money for that.
Yep.
Oh, darn.
Cash money.
No, not cash. Definitely not cash. Quicken sends me a bill every month to remind me that I did not pay cash.
So, this weekend was, of course, the July 4th weekend. A lot going on. I actively tried not to do much of anything. I did go out to my parents. I saw my parents for the 4th of July.
How nice.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. I ended up watching the 4th of July celebration on PBS, right? Not the parade, the fun one. Yeah, not the.
What do they show on PBS?
It was John Stamos and the Sesame Street Muppets and a whole bunch of PBS people.
I was about to say they didn't just show a Ken Burns documentary.
No, they didn't. They would talk in and out of different musical performers. Oddly enough, you know who was a performer? Lindsey Stirling.
What?
That's cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I mean, it was really cool to see her kind of, you know, on a national stage and doing, you know, her original music. And I mean, she was definitely probably the highlight performance.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah. No, she was great at BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was at BlizzCon?
Oh, did we not tell you guys about that? Yeah, we got to see Lindsey Stirling and DJ Hodor out at BlizzCon.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Man, they don't send you guys anywhere.
We've noticed.
Shake and bake.
Other than that, I played a lot of Fallout 4. I'm pretty close to the end on that, I think. But I'm just mostly going around and doing settlement builds anyway. So that's
Sim Fallout.
Yeah, it's pretty much that's exactly what I've been doing.
I did a lot this weekend. Like once I actually sit here and think about it, I actually did quite a bit. Went and saw Spider-Man again with my grandparents. Spider-Man again with my parents, or my grandparents and my nephew, who really enjoyed
it. Don't spoil it. I gotta go this week.
You know, one of these days, I'm just gonna spoil the latest Marvel movie, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are so paranoid about it being spoiled.
It doesn't matter.
Worry
I'll
about
assault
it, man.
You.
Also, obviously finished up Stranger Things in one sitting.
Yeah, that's what I did that on Sunday.
Yep. I got two episodes left.
Joe hasn't even started yet.
I've not started.
It's so good.
Well, don't worry.
I'm very excited for it.
We won't spoil Joe.
Here's the thing. We're bringing, we've been asked so many times by our audience, when are you bringing the weekly podcast back? We are bringing it back. The first episode that we're going to bring back is to talk about Stranger Things.
That's right.
And now we're all waiting on Joe.
Yeah.
So, Joe, it's all your fault.
Joe. Yeah.
Played a lot of Monster Hunter.
I don't feel bad about it.
You're actually this is not a shake and bake moment.
Oh no.
So I capture everything that I possibly can, because you get more
you're
monster
the opposite
parts
of me.
For
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Elder Dragons you can't capture.
Right.
Right? So when you finish a mission, a little thing pops up. Do you want to go back to camp, back to the city or headquarters or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you have a countdown timer that goes down. When you capture, it's 20 seconds it takes you back. If you kill something, you have 60 because you have to carve it. Because I've been capturing so many things, I've killed a bunch of these Elder Dragons. And on my third one, with 10 seconds left, I go, I'm like, why is this taking so... Oh, I have to... Oh, no! So 3 Elder Dragons worth of carves missed.
You do.
Yeah.
And then the one other thing that I want to highlight is I do a non-stream D&D with my girlfriend and a few other friends, actually, from our chat here, Saturday nights. And they got a plushie. My girlfriend specifically got a plushie beholder in one of their first sessions.
Yeah.
That in the actual book itself, like in the source material, says this is a magical sensor. and someone like is spying through it, like one of the big bads is spying through it, and they carried this around with them. He knows all their names, he knows where they live. So the last session, when they all went to bed in their new like manor that they have, I had them all ambushed in the middle of the night and ended up killing Heartslot's mage.
She
actually used a thunder wave, shattered the windows, retreated out onto the balcony, and then got crit, died. I had to roll a dexterity saving throw. She failed it, fell off the balcony, taking a death saving throw just from impact. And then nobody knew she was out there because they're all in different rooms, and she ended up bleeding out.
Oh my God.
And they had to spend all the money that they had earned up to this point trying to save enough to open their tavern just to resurrect her.
Wow.
But we are back timing this to this segment to something. So we've kind of got to move along here.
All right, Norris, what'd you do over the weekend?
So I did so much, but you know, I didn't really leave the house a lot. Of course, I barbecued on the holiday, had a bunch of friends over, that was super cool. Y'all know the highlight for me was the Women's World Cup, easily.
Oh, hands down.
Okay, went to the pub on Sunday, watched the match. It was absolutely electrifying. Word out to the U.S. Women's National Team and the new Captain America, Megan Rapinoe.
Another victory for America.
Quite literal this time.
Quite literally. It was an amazing run in the tournament to watch. And y'all, here's another thing. Y'all know me, and I've been in Twitter wars with people all weekend long about like equal pay for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking about it. Don't add me. But, you know, if you want to talk soccer always, you guys know to hit me up, man. So that was the highlight of my weekend, obviously.
Joe, what were you getting up to?
Well, I finally went and got to see Spider-Man, so that was exciting.
No spoilers,
right. And then after that, I sat around freaking out about coming to do this show today, so... It was a long, stressful weekend, but
you're such a ball of nerves.
I know. Sometimes
normally I get stressed out about stuff like that, but
you don't stress out about performing.
Not really. Like once the mics are open, well, it's just like, we'll figure it out.
To be clear, I wasn't stressed about performing. I was stressed about literally everything with cameras and videos and all of that working.
So now that, you know, we've gotten through most of our day as of recording this, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm way more relaxed and I'm not nervous at all for tomorrow.
No. I totally do understand this.
Yeah.
I totally understand this because when it was my equipment, if something went wrong, or if, you know, like that, it would be immediate.
It's
sweating.
It's the worst feeling.
It is the worst feeling.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I got in today. I'm like, I just need everything to turn on and work properly. Please, everything work. Okay, it works. Great.
Man, I definitely do know that feeling. It's not a fun feeling.
No.
Anyway, all right, well, that's what we were doing this weekend. What did you get up to over the 4th of July? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And by the way, I do want to say thank you to our audience who did allow us to take two additional days off on top of the weekend. So we got a nice 4-day weekend. That was really, really nice. Thank you guys for not abandoning the show as a result of it. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, got a question for you. Have video games ever impacted your relationship? Positively or negatively? We want to hear both of them. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Have video games ever impacted your relationship? That's the question that we're asking here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at checkpointxp.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at checkpointxp.com. Video games can either have a very positive or very negative effect on one's relationship. I should know. I was in one for 10 years, and I don't think a video game ever did anything positive for us the entire time we were together.
I am sorry. So sorry to hear that.
It really is depressing, because I've met other people since then that I've been able to form relationships with where video games do play a very positive part in our relationship, and it's just sad to me that the biggest one in my own life, it was always so heated and negative around video games. I got to ask you guys as well, have you guys ever had video games impact a relationship?
Wants to go first?
No, wait a minute. Not,
like, at all?
No?
I mean, let me say this. I'm not going to say no, but not to any
dramatic
effect.
You literally just did.
Yeah, you literally said no.
not to any dramatic effect, right? So here's the thing. I'm very open with my love for video games, like with any new relationship I ever started. So usually it either goes like, it's not really my thing, but you're still cool, so I'll hang around. Or it's like, I like games too, I'll still hang around. That's usually how it works for me.
Sure.
And I think the worst experience I ever had is like somebody, you know, basically just said, like, I think you play that game a little too much. And then I was just like, you don't know what you're talking about. Get out of my face. So in that relationship.
So, get out of my life. The games aren't any different than what movies or TV or music would be in a relationship.
That's it. As a matter of fact, I've used them more as a way to sort of bridge together a point or something that I think somebody might be able to get out of it, more so than not. But games have been more positive than negative in my relationships.
Joe?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I've had a few relationships go a little haywire because of video games. A girl I was dating in high school did not think as much of my relationship with Final Fantasy XI as I did.
You know what?
That's probably fair.
That was a common friction point in my relationship as well.
I was single during those years, so maybe that's saying something.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now that she is 100% in the right on this story.
Yeah.
That maybe Final Fantasy XI was not the best for our relationship, and that really came to a head when one year I decided, you know what the problem is? I've got it figured out. It's not that I play so much FF11. It's that I play so much FF11 without her.
Oh, no.
So I had the idea.
Oh, you stupid.
You're an idiot.
Stupid
I
man.
Had the idea that
you're
for her birthday, I would buy her FF11 and all the expansions.
You're not good at that.
She was very quick to inform me that that was not the right decision for our relationship. And she broke up with me that day.
That's right.
Because she decided she would rather become single on her birthday.
That's
than
right.
Even feign interest.
That's
in
right.
FF11.
Oh, man. You know, that
dump
actually,
your ass.
That provides a great segue into mine, because I'm going to say that the both games have done both good things and bad things for me within the same relationship. Probably one of the longest relationships that I have started with Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah.
And, you know, after Limit Break, or after I left Limit Break Radio, both me and her ended up going over to World of Warcraft and eventually ended up getting into Final Fantasy XIV as well. And that was the relay. It was a long distance relationship, first of all. So all types of problems there. But if it wasn't for the game, the relationship never would have happened. So I owe that entire relationship to the game, really. But all the things that you sort of need to learn as an adult in relationships, sort of to make sure that whatever comes next is successful, was learned through that relationship. So there's a lot of problems. I think still overall, the experiences that I had were positive. Like, you know, I wouldn't trade any of those years back or change anything about them. You know, we both ended on good terms and still think fondly of each other. But if it wasn't for Final Fantasy XI, World of Warcraft, and Final Fantasy XIV, I don't know that I would have been mature emotionally to be in the stable relationship that I'm in now.
That's an interesting take.
See, I really like that.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening in Grand Rapids on KBBL Sports 107.3 FM and St. Joseph WSJM New Talk 94.9 FM in our home state of Michigan. We're currently talking about whether or not video games have positively or negatively impacted your relationships. And here's what I've noticed as someone who's been single for a while. Let's call it a while.
How long?
We don't need to get into specifics here, Robbie. Just a while.
It's been a minute.
So I keep having this problem where whenever I meet someone on the apps, because of course it's that or bars, and I hate bars.
Reasonable.
Anytime I meet somebody on the apps, it seems like whenever the conversation goes towards video games, that's when I get a lot of tapping out. I get a lot of people who just it has no bearing on them, and they're not interested.
Hold on, because this is going to be a hard to swallow pill, not just for you, but for a few people,
for many people.
Because I know, for example, our good friend Skuro says when he's out dating, he doesn't mention gaming to anyone because it could instantly turn them off. And especially,
I'm not in that camp because you're either going to like me or hate me no matter what.
Exactly.
And this is not a part of my life that's going away.
Exactly. That's the thing. If you are into gaming and it's not going away, you're doing yourself a disservice by not just weeding them out to begin with. Because imagine if you do get into a good committed relationship, you're 6-7 months in, and then they realize
then the game
you're into gaming.
It's so much worse to be in a relationship and have that become the friction point.
No, totally. Yes.
And I can speak from experience. Again, 10 years worth of a relationship.
But see,
what I'm noticing, though,
and your interest.
But what I'm noticing that the big issue is that unfortunately, see, you got to meet somebody, and like when you meet me, we can all have a conversation that may not touch video games.
Sure.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right. I can hold, just like Nate. I know you can hold many conversations that have nothing to do with video games.
Absolutely.
All the time. So I think what happens is that you have a group of people who are incapable of having meaningful conversations without linking them back to video games. And that's sort of the issue that I see a lot of people having.
You know what? That may be part of what I'm doing because I do that naturally as a part of this show so often.
Right.
I have to relate literally everything back to video games in some way.
That's different.
That's true.
If it's not your job, you should be able to have an adult conversation without bringing up Final Fantasy VII. Remake.
But there are also people out there that when they hear gaming, and maybe it's because in the past they've had relationships that have been broken up because of it,
right?
But gaming to them is like a no-go. Like, oh, you're a gamer? I'm not into gamers.
See, I actually have. I've dated a girl who got out of a relationship with somebody who was a gamer, and she was just like, oh, you're actually pretty cool. Like, you play a lot of games, but you're also not like a ridiculous person. It doesn't consume your every being,
not
your every waking moment.
That, though.
That's true.
It's about moderation.
All right. Well, you've heard our opinions, but we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. Let us know about some of your own dating stories. Have you gotten into relationships where video games have been a friction point? Let us know about it. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow for the latest in esports. Sports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.